Welcome to The Bond, the Christian podcast for purposeful and peaceful parenting. We want to understand children's hearts, reach parents' hearts, and see God with new eyes. Five young Christian moms started this podcast in September 2020 in Germany. We wish you God's blessings as you listen to our episode about the fourth stage of attachment. My name is Denise Grant, and I am the English voice for this podcast. We are in the middle of the topic of attachment levels and are gradually approaching the end of this series of topics. The last four episodes have been about the levels of attachment as defined by Gordon Neufeld. These levels describe how a child becomes more capable of forming deeper attachments to his or her closest attachment figures from year to year. If these attachment roots grow well, if the soil for them is well fertilized, then the child will mature. Character traits such as patience, empathy, forgiveness, impulse control, self-reflection, or courage will be developed without you commanding your child to behave this way. The good soil provides for this maturation process. We parents take care of a good bond, provide all the framework conditions, and the miracle of maturation happens. Here again, an overview of the first four levels of attachment. First, it is all about proximity or closeness. Then, about sameness or equality. Then, we see the level of belonging and loyalty. And finally, that of appreciation and esteem. Today, we're going to talk about the fifth stage, love. We're going to take a critical look at love, what it is, what we actually want that comes across to our children, and what often, unfortunately, comes across in everyday life. Of course, we will also give you some tips on how you can live love. And again, we will come back to how God lives love. Now let's talk about what the attachment level of love looks like. Between the ages of 4 and 5, children grow into the attachment level of love. This sounds strange because was there no love before? The levels before have prepared this deep feeling because now children give their heart to their closest attachment figures. If you have a child at this age who has been well accompanied, you will notice that your child's declarations of love suddenly take on a different character. Before, your child would say, "I love you," because you said it, because that is how you talk to each other, and because such phrases feel good. Now, when your child says, "I love you," they give you their whole heart. It's different than before, more emotional, more connected. Children at this age often want to marry the family, the mom, the brother, because they love everyone so much. They often use the heart as a symbol of love, like to draw this and make heart symbols. A tenderness, softness, and deep caring emerge. This is a really beautiful time to care for a child. Love is the feeling of attachment, of relationship. Love cannot be commanded. It must flow from the deepest heart. That's why love is something voluntary, and children live for the feeling of connection. That's exactly why it's so immensely important that your child doesn't feel like they have to do anything to be loved. Children feel they get love mainly when they are sweet, well-behaved, or obedient. They realize that they have to work for it, that they have to conform to their parents' ideas. Quite unconsciously, they then start to work for the attachment instead of resting in it. However, the principle of rest is so elementary important for maturation. And by that we mean real maturity, not one imposed from the outside. Amazingly, this is possible even in toddlers. When children are secure in their attachment, in their parents' love, whether they are being good or throwing a tantrum, then they can rest. In this emotional rest mode, they play and the character traits that make a mature person can develop. The Bible also says, "In stillness and quietness is your strength." Already the Bible asks us to rest in God, to be certain of our bond with Him, and from this we then grow. Maturing was never meant to be a fight. In the family, children learn what love is through what they experience every day. This can have many facets. Jasper Jewell says in his book, Respect, Trust, and Love, "We believe that the way our parents love us is love, even if we don't feel loved." He continues, "So there are the helicopter parents, or whatever you want to call them. They serve their children, give them everything they need, go beyond their own limits, and forget all of their own needs. The kids realize, oh, so that's love. Okay, then I demand more of that." Jasper Jewell goes on to say that serving healthy children is not love. It just creates a desire in them to be served even more. Children know exactly what they want, but as adults, we know what they need. If we fulfill all their wishes, then the child concludes, "When my mother serves me all the time, it looks so loving. So that must be love. But I'm getting more and more frustrated, so my response is, I have to have more, more and more and more." But ultimately, our children are not satiated. Fulfilling wishes does not satiate. Needs must be satisfied. Out of blind love, parents go beyond their personal limits and often do things they don't really feel like doing. Things they actually find really stupid, and the children observe this. Parents say that they won't do this or that anymore and then do it in the end, supposedly for the sake of the child. Because the parents define to their children what love is, the children remember, yes, in this world, you don't have to take responsibility for yourself, especially if you love someone. This is a dangerous inference because if your teenage daughter then has her first boyfriend and the boyfriend pushes her to go one step further physically than your daughter likes, she will be extremely susceptible to accusations like, "You don't love me if you don't do that," because she has stored love gives and goes beyond personal boundaries. We as parents should maintain our personal integrity. If things go against our personal ideas, then we are allowed to tell our children that and also tell them why. Personal responsibility is extremely important for us as parents because we are role models. In love, deal with the frustration of your children that may arise because you are clearly setting a limit. Children are allowed to learn how to deal with frustration. This is extremely important for their lives. Remember, true love respects the personal boundary of others. We respect our children's boundaries and they respect ours. This is how they learn about personal integrity. God deals with us in the same way. He does not force us to do things that we do not want to do. He works with attachment when something is quite different from what we imagine. He even changes his plans because of us as far as it is okay for him. But in some places, God has set a limit. He clearly says, "Stop, stop. I won't go any further because I remain true to myself. And at the same time, I want to respect your boundaries." For example, God cannot simply sweep under the rug the problem with sin, the breach of trust in the Garden of Eden, or undo the situation. Because what was at stake here was the breaking of the bond between man and God. God had to respect man's decision to be separated from him, which ultimately meant death. But he conquered this problem by proving his love and trustworthiness on the cross and thereby made it possible for us to enter into a bond with him again. God is mindful of his personal boundaries and those of his beings. Knowing and feeling loved is such a complex thing because cognitively your children can possibly grasp that they are loved, especially when they are already older. But if this knowledge is not felt with the heart, then it is hardly worth anything. Love for your children should be affirmed regardless of any accomplishments and good behavior on their part. But unfortunately, when it comes to discipline and punishment, the wrong message is often sent. In the case of misbehavior, we often send our children away from us to a room, to a corner, yelling at them, and making themselves equal with their wrong deed with phrases like, "You're really mean, you're a bad child." They will automatically feel that the love, the bond, has received a crack. An emotional separation has happened. Imagine you do something that totally upsets your partner. When he or she finds out about it, they send you into some room yelling that you should think about your behavior, maybe even calling you names or hitting you. Then you would realize your relationship is suffering right now. There is a crack here, and actually you have a problem right now. You messed up and you have a weird feeling in your stomach. You need help, advice, someone to be there for you. With adults, we would not think of treating them like this at all, because it would damage our relationship permanently, the bond which is so elementary important, especially when something goes wrong. Children are absolutely receptive to punishment, and of course they come back changed after a timeout, because they will do everything now to get back in contact with their attachment figures, which is vital for them. But the feeling remains with them. If I behave in such and such a way, then my parents don't love me. Then an emotional separation happens. This is a really delicate subject. That's why we're going to talk separately in an episode about how to set boundaries, say clear no's and stops without sacrificing our bond. It can be done, and this way is so beautiful. I notice how it's good for all of us because, let's face it, it's a bad feeling for us to lock our kids in the room raging, and it's even worse for our kids. Everyone is frustrated and sad afterwards and needs to reconnect emotionally. Why not then go down a path that has the same goal, setting boundaries while staying in loving connection with the child? A way that says, "Your behavior is wrong, and I absolutely do not like it. And I think you are great, and I love you." German psychotherapist Gunda Frey writes that children mirror our psyche. If we have personal problems, do not feel loved, do not accept ourselves, have a diminished self-esteem, are impatient, are emotionally unbalanced, then our children often mirror this. Many things then become apparent in their behavior. Of course, we are not always the cause of our children's misbehavior, but sometimes it is really enlightening to see if we don't see similar behavior in ourselves. Ask yourself, how do I feel? How am I doing? We can start working on ourselves, and the children will feel the change, and many of our children's problems will also be solved. When a child connects with us through love, it makes them much more emotionally vulnerable. Emotions of warmth, tenderness, caring come to light, and these are very tender and vulnerable feelings. That is why the child chooses carefully to whom they give their heart, because it is precious. Whoever possesses the heart of a child has the power to hurt it. A child who gets the feeling that they are no longer loved for themselves, no longer valued and cared for, can react to this very violently in an outburst of anger. This is because frustration builds up about not getting what the little heart is longing for. That is why attachment also develops in stages. They will bond with the person who meets them with closeness, equality, belonging, and loyalty and appreciation. They will give their heart to this person. This does not happen randomly. In her book, Rest, Play, Grow, Deborah McNamara says, "Love is a deep form of attachment that allows a 5-year-old to move even further away from his or her psychological home port and try new things." From this age on, it becomes increasingly easy for children to be separate from their attachment figures. This is because when they leave the home port and venture off to new adventures, they still feel connected through the feeling of love. How can we convey this feeling of love to our children? Actually, we do that by saturating the first 4 years of attachment. After all, these are attachment roots that never break away. They will always play a role in everyday life. In the last 4 podcast episodes, you got a lot of tips on how to live love in everyday life. By being close to each other, all the senses play a role. By having things in common and living them out, by standing by each other and being loyal to each other, by treating each other with respect and seeing each other's needs. These are the principles you should live by. Actually, it's a lifestyle, not a program. From this stems the feeling of love. Regularly tell your children that you love them and explain how much you do. Tell your children how much they were wanted. Create or look at a baby album together. Cuddle, read children's books about unconditional love, etc. Gary Chapman, famous for his books on the 5 love languages, has also written one for children. According to him, there are 5 languages people use to show and receive love. They are words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. The exciting thing is that he says that 1 or 2 love languages manifest themselves in children around the age of 5. With these, your child mainly shows love and feels loved in return. The book, especially for children, is only short and maybe also a help for you on how you can speak more consciously the love language of your children in everyday life. Now, these were some thoughts from attachment theory on the subject of love. So exciting how the bond develops little by little and the feeling of love manifests in the heart of the children. The stages before this one basically prepare your child to feel loved, always, no matter what he or she does, no matter what happens. The crucial question is, do you always feel loved by God? Or does this knowledge only reach your head but not your heart? Do you have problems feeling God's love? We can imagine that many have a problem here, because only to a few of us was given the feeling of unconditional love as children. We knew, if things were going well, that we were loved, but feeling this knowledge is different. To always feel loved, regardless of any accomplishments, to be allowed to find yourself, to be allowed to go your way and feel loved. And since parents shape the image of God in their children, children transfer the kind of love they are experiencing with their parents to God. If a wrong image was conveyed, it can be converted as soon as a person is able to think critically. But this is a really long process because the insights that then contradict the way it was experienced must also find entrance into the heart. That's where the Holy Spirit has a lot of work to do. Theologian Ty Gibson posted the following statement on Instagram. In Christ, what I am and what I do are not always the same, and what I do is not always consistent with who I am. These things don't negate, overwrite, or redefine what I am in Jesus Christ, God's innocent, righteous, faithful, and beloved child. Before I can give this kind of unconditional love to my child, I must receive it myself from God. Just as the voluntariness of sharing is the starting point for giving freely from the heart, so it is with love. When we let ourselves be filled, when we have absorbed love like a sponge, then we become able to love. To achieve that, we must and may also love ourselves. Just as we saturate the attachment levels in our children and they become able to love, God saturates us so that we voluntarily surrender and follow Him out of love. Ty Gibson says, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, He is pointing out that I am my own neighbor. Self-hatred makes it impossible to love the other. First, I must be aware of myself that I am loved by God. Then I can love myself as God does. Then, out of that healthy self-love, I can love you. God goes through the attachment levels with us just as we go through them with our children. When we have truly experienced closeness, equality, loyalty, and belonging, and appreciation with God on an emotional level, a feeling of deep love for God arises. A deep attachment has formed, and we give our heart to God. The Bible also uses the image of a wedding here. When we make the decision to follow God, when we can consciously decide on this, we get baptized. We give God our heart and marry Him in the spiritual sense. Often the Bible says that Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. The letter to the Romans also says that Jesus loved us while we were still enemies. His offer of commitment was always there, even when we were totally out of line. His declarations of love were always around us. With every flower that blooms, every breath we take, every smile, every friendly greeting, every hug actually conveys the love of someone much greater. The one who loves God will grow into this love and live more and more according to how a loving relationship looks like. Not because they want to receive love, but because they are loved. If you are trying to earn the favor of God, you are on the wrong track. Follow through all the levels of attachment with God personally and become saturated in attachment. Love will grow, and from it, a change of personality will stem. See the Ten Commandments as promises rather than prohibitions, for they describe what a relationship looks like in which love reigns. In this love, we may grow and understand more and more how we can love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's it for today on the subject of love. Hopefully, you could take something away for yourself. Love is an extremely strong power. We can use this power in leading our children, just as God uses His love to draw us to Himself. Next time, we'll talk about the last stage of attachment, that of familiarity. That's where children want to be known by us, and they want us to know everything about them. You will gain a lot of new insight, so be there next time. Jesus says, "He who abides in me and I in him abides in my love." This connection makes us strong for life. If you have enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with others. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Bond Podcast, and also follow us on Instagram under the same name. We also appreciate any feedback via the email address, thebond@mail.de. Thank you.